obviously this is a really huge topic for just one session, so I'm going to dive straight into it. But first, I think we just need a foundation as well, because this is something that the Lord's really been speaking to me and Jordan about recently, is foundations. And if the foundations are not solid in something, or if corners have been cut, whatever you build upon that is going to be precarious and isn't going to stand the test of time. So as we build, we obviously remember the chief cornerstone, Yeshua. And as we set out on this journey, exploring the earth's groans and our role in this, in healing the earth, then we do so from within him. We do so from within Yeshua, the living word, the one who was there at the beginning, the Aleph Tav, the Alpha and the Omega. And so Jesus taught us that the kingdom is within you. And he also taught us that, you know, the kingdom is at hand. So we know that there is a kingdom within. There's a kingdom at hand. We have the inner and the outer. We have the spirit and the natural. So from the inner reality, we can govern and affect the outer reality. And we see the cross is the unification for that inner and outer. And it's in his blood that we find redemption. We find that unification. We find that wholeness. We find healing and we find life. Yeshua's, he redeemed us and united us with him and with the Father in heaven, and also with each other, and also with the earth and creation and the world around us. So Yeshua, as the last Adam, has restored us to this Eden reality. He's restored us to that sweet union of life and life in abundance, of governing and of dominion, and of not toiling, not even toiling over Zoom, just of being at rest and at being, you know, at one in him, and then living from eternity into now. So we can be existing in him in all places at all times. We can be seeing with hope and living by faith in the very substance of the tangible promises of the future glory. So I know that was probably sounded a bit long-winded then. We can live from living with hope, living by faith, seeing with hope the tangible promises of the future glory, and then living with that now as our present reality. So that's just laying the foundations. The cross of Jesus is the foundations. He is the cornerstone. So now, hopefully you guys have got your Bibles at hand or your phone or something. But I'm going to jump into Romans 8, which I've lost the place of in my Bible. I thought I was organized. I did have it here. Okay. So Romans 8 is where some real serious keys lie. And this is homework to go back to and just re-immerse yourself in. Because truly this chapter, we need it to live as sons and to walk this stuff out. Because, you know, those that are led by the Spirit are sons. So how many of us are led by what our selfish nature wants? I'm putting my head up because it's yeah. It's something we can walk in victoriously, like daily. But obviously it takes some inner work. It takes some inner work before we're going to be seeing the outer transformation. So there's deeper levels to navigate this as well. Even if we're super familiar with these scriptures and we've heard them a million times before, there's always freshness, you know, that God can illuminate by his Spirit. When we're reading through those lenses of the Spirit, there's just new truths and new dimensions that he is inviting us into. You know, we've had fun playing in the sand pit with him. We've had fun, maybe we've matured onto Lego now, building with the Lord. Maybe we've got some Duplo blocks and we're building some pretty impressive things, but now, you know, creation is groaning for us to start to fit these pieces together and to build on a solid foundation, to build his kingdom, because he's desiring to see his kingdom revealed in and through us. Okay, I mean, verse 18, it says, I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. All of creation waits with eager longing for God to reveal his sons. All of creation is groaning. And creation was condemned to lose its purpose, not of its own will, but because God willed it to be so. Yet there was the hope that creation itself would one day be set free from its slavery to decay and would share the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that up to the present time, all of creation groans with pain, like the pain of childbirth, which I know about. But it is not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts, the first fruits, also groan within ourselves as we wait for God to make us his sons and set our whole being free. So the earth is groaning as if it's under a burden. The burden, when you're under a burden, you're seeking relief from that. So the earth has been seeking relief from slavery to decay and wants to be sharing in the glorious freedom that we have as children of God. I was just, just even considering this, can you imagine talking to creation and saying, so what was your born-again experience? What was your testimony? How rad is this going to be? I was feeding the chickens earlier, and I was like, wow, soon, guys, you're gonna know about this. You're gonna be walking in the new Eden reality, man. Those eggs, they're gonna be something else. Bring on the golden glory eggs, huh? But anyway, oh goodness. Yeah, it's good to go into these kind of just dream with God and just say, Lord, what is it going to look like as we start to see the freedom and the liberty coming to creation and the world around us, to truly see this restoration of all things? Because, even with birth pangs, there's the groaning with the birth pangs, but there's a reward in it. There's such a rich reward because that there's a substance of something coming, something so precious and glorious and wonderful. And so also there's groans of anticipation and of excitement of the imminent, tangible glory. It's this promise that is within reach. It's coming. And, his Spirit in us, by him giving us his Holy Spirit, by him empowering us by his Spirit, that is the first fruits. That is the evidence. Like when the farmers would go out and they would pluck and take those ears of wheat and they would offer it up to God as the first fruits, because just seeing those first ears of wheat that had become ripe, that was the evidence of the whole harvest that was going to be brought in over the whole of harvest time. So just the little handful of wheat, that wasn't the full harvest, that was just a handful, but it represented something. It represented the substance of what was coming. So likewise, we have the Spirit in us and we can be like, yes, this is evidence of what is coming. And it's just a little handful, but what's coming is just going to be is huge. It's a huge harvest that is coming. So that is exciting. So just as sin was judged on the cross, with Yeshua, as sons, we are to enforce this higher order of kingdom government. So how do we do that? Well, firstly, God reveals us. We don't reveal ourselves. Behold, it's time for me to be a son. I'm going to manifest myself right now. It's for God to reveal us. Interesting thing is that we allow ourselves to be led by his Spirit. We deal with the carnal nature. We allow his pure Spirit to lead us. And then he reveals us. So as he's leading us, he reveals us. So it's about our submission and walking in union with him. The less we're led and moved by our carnal nature, and the more we're led by his Spirit, the more we're able to be manifesting and looking like Yeshua, the more we look like sons. So it's not complicated. It's quite natural when you see, oh, Lord, of course, when we are truly walking by your Spirit, we're manifesting Jesus. And that is how you're being revealed, Lord. That's how he's revealing us. And I want to add here as well that it is our right standing with God that enables us to reign as sons. It's because of the cross. It's because he gave us that right standing before God. Not because anything we could do, because of his gift. Because of his gift of righteousness, he then enabled us to reign as sons. This is wild. This is foundations, but it's wild. It's so powerful. It's the power of the gospel. Romans 5 says, so also grace might reign through righteousness with God. This righteousness was given as a gift. So we need to believe this in order to see our carnal nature dealt with and for us to live out of the Spirit. So we can't, it's not just about us thinking, I've got to live by the Spirit. We've got to believe that we have that right standing with God. And then we find ourselves walking and being led by the Spirit. We find ourselves being inclined to go pray for someone or go to a certain spot and pray. Or it's as we're being led by him, that's when these things flow effortlessly. Oh, wow, Lord, I didn't even, you know, when you pray for somebody in that moment or you're worshiping and this new song comes, it's effortless because he's being enabled to flow through you by his grace. So I was just wondering how we're doing for time because I don't want to... we're doing fine. This is great. Okay. Yeah, so the whole of Romans 8 is gold. It really is. Because this was a huge key, even in my journey and in my walk with the Lord and in going into heaven and living and existing with him, this has been so key because I was so gripped with condemnation and at times it's still something that I really struggle with. And so living by this truth is something that can really transform. It can really transform. You know, when people slip up, when you make a little mistake, you need to know that you can come back to the cross and just gaze at him and know that, you know, you can boldly come before his throne of grace and obtain mercy. That is so freeing. That's so liberating. So to know that there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus, like the tighter you are in his pocket, the more you're living under the armpit of the Father, like then there's no condemnation. The devil has not got nothing on you. The devil hasn't got nothing on you if you're tucked in there with Yeshua, because that's all the Father sees. He just sees Jesus. He's not looking at anything wicked or evil. He's looking at you because you are made right with him by this gift of righteousness. So I hope that's encouraging. It is for me. I'm preaching to myself too. So the more we walk in that revelation of our right standing with God, that transforms. It transforms our thinking. And it transforms our actions. And of course, it's easy to slip back into condemnation or fear or doubt or worry or unbelief. But none of these are a fruit of the Spirit. So as sons, we are to enforce God's kingdom authority. And Yeshua said, blessed are the peacemakers. So are we those that walk in his peace? Are we those that are walking and governing in shalom? And shalom actually means the government that destroys or dismantles chaos. So if we're walking as peacemakers, wherever we walk, we should be like shredding chaos. As we're walking, we're shredding chaos. This inner work that we're doing, because I know I'm lingering on this foundational stuff for so long, but it really does pay off in the end. Because this inner work leads to the outer work. This inner work leads to the manifestation and the change around us. And it's exciting, but at times it's also terrifying. And I do have a few stories that I'm going to share that I think will help. Just some kind of testimonies of some craziness. Adventures with Jesus. Go to the nations, they said. And then it's like, oh, Lord, what is this place? So the reason why we have not seen these radical manifestations of sonship yet, I believe, is because of mixture. Mixture in the body and mixture in the church. And I actually saw in a vision recently this shadow, and it was over the earth and it was over the church as well, superimposed. And I said, like, I was kind of disturbed and troubled by it because I'm like, Lord, this isn't your intention. You know, I was in him looking at the earth and I'm saying, this is not your intention for it. You're wanting us to shine. You've called us to be the light. Now, you know, even though deep darkness covers the land, you know, it's actually time now for his light to shine, to arise and shine, for his light has come. Yet what I was seeing in the spirit was this kind of cloudy shadow. And basically he showed me that this shadow was, it was deception. And a shadow is basically a place where light is yet to shine or is in fact being obscured. So this shadow of deception, it was the Lord was just showing me that God's people are either not shining the light effectively because they're not even in the light. They're not in truth. And this is where we kind of get into some rocky ground, because in the shadow of murky grey deception, the danger is that they're deceived into thinking they're in the light, but in fact are not. They might think they're having a merry, happy little Christian social club, but they're not actually shining. Therefore, they're just hanging out in the shadows, having a cup of tea and cake. They've strayed from his ways. I think we as a body, we've strayed from his ways in many aspects. And we've been listening, or we've been getting our information, we've been informed by another voice. So my advice would be to turn off like news and mainstream media and get your intel from heaven, get your intel from the Heavenly Father. And we need to embrace the spirit of truth and allow it to search every single hidden motive of our heart and every wonky perception in our belief system, and then turn in repentance and get into the word of truth. You know, don't just go along with man's ideas or opinions. Ground it out. Go to the Father and ask questions. And even ask questions, you know, even at your local church, if something doesn't sit right with you. Be the one that asks questions, because, you know, it's good. Be a Berean. Search it out in the word, like be anchored in his truth, be anchored in his word. Use that as your filter through which you see things, is see things through the living word, Yeshua, who you are in. He's given you that spirit of discernment. And if you don't have it, if your discernment is a little bit off, pray and ask him, Lord, sensitize me further to your spirit. Like, give me your discernment, Lord. Help me to see stuff. Black and white. I don't want to hang out in the shadows or in the grey areas. I want to see things in black and white. So that, I believe, is very key to the times we're living in, and if we're going to see this change and manifestations at work. And we need to be a people that speaks up in boldness for the sake of righteousness and truth. So now on the topic of repentance... I'm going to get into some of the meat of it, so you can fasten your seatbelts, and I'm going to have some water. So Jeremiah 1, okay. I'm sure you're all really familiar with this. Okay. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. It's great, isn't it? Sometimes you need rescuing from the very people that God sends you to. So and I've experienced that as well, living as a missionary, and things got a little bit dicey, and the Lord did end up rescuing me. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So this is a key when we're dealing with land issues. Because remember, the earth is groaning. creation is groaning because it's still awaiting its little born-again experience. So it's longing for that future glory to liberate. And we get to play a part in this as we cooperate with the Father's will. So let me make this very clear. This is not about our own presumptions, but this is about how the Lord directs and how the Lord instigates and how the Lord leads. So remember, as we have dealt with the carnal nature and we're being led by this, you know, led of the Spirit as sons, we are then able to mature and be trusted and revealed as sons to do this stuff. So be obedient. Obedience is so, so, so important. Okay. So yeah, if Yahweh gives you a blueprint or a strategy, instructions, stick to the plan. Don't try and be a hero. Don't try and own the show. And don't be a coward either. Okay, so Jeremiah 2 now. It says in Jeremiah 2 that Israel exchanged their glory for worthless idols. And this is now like where we begin to see, like as the Lord's just unlocking this, we go on to Jeremiah 3 and it likens Israel to like an adulterous woman. He said, if a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? You see, the land is defiled because of that action. Why would the land be defiled because of that? Well, it's prostitution, and that is a form of idolatry. The Lord even goes on to say, you have defiled the land with your prostitution and wickedness. Therefore, because there's consequence when these defilements happen or have happened, there's consequences for it. In Jeremiah 3, it says, therefore, the showers have been withheld. So drought is a consequence of a defilement, and no spring rains have fallen. So, points to note, Jeremiah 2, where Israel has gone after, has exchanged their glory for worthless idols. This is a key for the church. This is for those parts of the body that is in this murkiness, in the grey areas of deception. They've forsaken the glory, that pure fiery glory to shine and that truth for worthless idols, because maybe they're choosing to listen more to their pastor instead of the word of God, or news media instead of the word of God, or whatever other things that they're embracing and holding in superiority above the Father. So they've exchanged their glory for worthless idols. So that's a first step before we go into tackling land issues, is to look at our own junk, look at our own motives, look at how our own family's running, how our own local church is running to or community or whoever you meet with. So that's really important. I just say that just from personal experience as well, because if you go on to tackle like other things, like sure enough, the stuff in you is going to come up, because God just wants to protect us as well. So he will cause us to look at our own junk so we don't get too out of our depth. And believe me, it's not nice. It's not nice to you know, to get a little bit out of our depth. So Jeremiah 3, we know that idolatry is wickedness and prostitution defiles the land. So we know that if that defilement is to be dealt with, it's connected some way or another with idolatry. Now, what's idolatry? Idolatry is not being faithful to God, to Yahweh. Idolatry is following after another false god. And God wants to deal with these issues because he is watching over his word to perform it. He desires to build and establish his kingdom in and through you and the world around you. So the moment you put your hand up to say, yes, Lord, I'm in, like, show me what I can do. Show me how I can affect, show me my local area, Lord. Show me if there's anywhere that, you know, you're wanting your light to shine. Show me an area, Father, where, you know, I'm willing. Send me, Lord. The Lord is desiring. He's desiring to do this through you. And the whole of creation is also groaning, saying, come on, get with the program. Come on. Creation is calling. My chickens have probably been saying, come on, Millie, get your act together. So we know that when we're stepping out, we are stepping out in the will of God. And okay, yeah, maybe if we do need to go and deal with some of our own junk, hallelujah, better today than tomorrow or the next day. The sooner the better. And the freer we'll all be. And they have, I don't know if any of you have heard of this saying, it's Tikkun Olam, which is Hebrew, and it's a term used for world repair or for healing the earth. And it's very common, and it's about us all doing our bit. We can all play our part in repairing the earth. And it's actually about bringing the earth back into the harmonious state for which God created it to be. So we can all play our part in that, you know. It's actually interpreted by Orthodox Jews as the prospect of overcoming all forms of idolatry. The prospect of, I mean, it's another thing to walk it out, isn't it? But we cast down and burn those jolly idols, whatever they may be, idols in our heart, like idols that we've placed in our lives. Let's cast down those idols and put him at the forefront. So we can all play our part. We're all empowered to be sons. And we may all have diverse mandates as well. And the instructions or the areas or the places that God calls us to function could be so different. But we can fulfill it by turning to him. That's why sharing like a message like this, I can't give like cookie cutter kind of message, because God is going to say one thing to me, but he might give somebody else completely different instructions. So the most important thing is to be led by his spirit. So, okay, I'm going to share some stories and testimonies now. This is where things could get interesting. Okay, first of all, there was, I've dealt with land defilements even here at the cabin a few years ago, when it was around about the time when I started growing vegetables. The Spirit said to me, there's a land defilement here that you need to pray about. And I wasn't so clued up into what that was about. I didn't know about the connections to idolatry. I just said, okay, Lord. So the only thing I knew about really was repentance. So he said it to me, and I remember I was down the drive. We've got like some woodland here, and I fell to my knees and just I just prayed repentance. I just begun to repent over anything, any defilement that had ever happened there, any wicked or evil thing that had happened, and just because I didn't know you know the history or what kind of things had occurred here. I didn't really know much of the history. I mean, we've had the land in our family all my life, but before that, I didn't know in the natural anyway. But in obedience, I just knelt down and just begun to repent and felt God's peace, his shalom. Like I could feel the cleanness in the air. Like when I stood up, I could feel the tangible, like a layer of film or something had been removed. And I wasn't even I wasn't consciously aware of specific things that had gone on here. This was just an act of obedience, just getting on my knees and praying, and it made a difference. It really did. Now, obviously, quite a few years later, you know, God's been teaching me more things about the timeline and stuff. So there was another instance quite a few years ago, like before I knew the Lord. In my like teenage years, I would party and like going to these all-night dance parties, and I remember it wasn't long after I was born again, the Lord took me in the spirit back inside the venue of one of these places. It's actually since been demolished, but yeah, there was this big kind of sports arena thing there where they would hold these huge raves with all different arenas. And the Lord took me back in there on two occasions. One time, the first time was to go back and to pray for me back in the timeline, in that like place of depravity and stuff. He sent me back to pray and intercede for myself. And the second time he took me back there, I was hearing the music, I was seeing all the, you know, the craziness that was going on there. And I said, Lord, you know, am I here to, like, you know, pray or do something? And the Lord said, there has been a land defilement here. And so I prayed again in repentance, Lord, forgive us, forgive me for what happened here. Forgive us for all of the terrible things that have occurred on this very land that has brought about a curse. And I didn't really have much understanding of all of that then, because I was still a very young believer. But now, years later, I can see that direct correlation, because at these parties, at these events, I was worshipping at the altar of false gods. And I didn't even know that was what I was doing. But it was an act of false worship. It was idolatry that was going on there, through the music, through that crazy techno music, and from just being there with other people. I was worshipping at a false altar, and then was thus, you know, defiling the land. So anyway, those prayers shifted things. And then I obviously found out that the whole building had been demolished and the whole thing has been, I think, redeveloped. So isn't that interesting that the Lord took me in there as a little agent when I was first born again to do some prayer work? And then he allowed that whole thing, once it was prayed, the land was cleansed, and now it's being used for something different. You know, the whole land is being reassigned for something different.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this first session. For part two, if you go to cabinacademy.com, you can listen to a continuation of the testimonies where I share about dealing specifically with land defilements and things that we personally walk through. Okay, God bless.